The first reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, reading from verses 4 to 8. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called, "Jesus," and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world." Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" This is the gospel of God. Praise to you, O Christ.
Welcome to all who are watching online. I had a phone call the other day from some very good friends in Sevenoaks. They say they watch every morning, and Pat said, "You've not waved to me yet." Hiya, Pat. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You've all been given a postcard this morning. Jesus, the King, Christ the King. Holman Hunt's Jesus, the Light of the World, a famous painting. He began painting it in 1853. He finished it in 1870. And it's focused on that verse in Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Now, that verse has been very precious to me down the years that I've been a Christian. And sometimes you go into a pulpit and you'll find hanging on the lectern or on the light in the pulpit a painting maybe, or a text, to remind the preacher what it's about. And one when I was in Great Horton, we had one when I went up there, and it said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that was a reminder to anybody who got in that pulpit as to what they wanted to hear. "Sir, I would see Jesus." And it's the part from John's Gospel where the Greeks come looking for Jesus, and they approach Philip and they say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip went to Andrew, and the two of them went together and said to Jesus, "There's some fellows wanted to see you." And we read that they went to hear what Jesus had to say to them. Now, I've heard many powerful sermons on this particular verse that is often hung in pulpits. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I wanted to repeat something that I've said to you before, told you before, maybe. Do forgive me if I have. But many years ago, when I was at the Alhambra Theatre as chaplain in Bradford, in the early 70s, and the Rapitry Company in the summer used to come in for about 6 or 8 weeks, and they used to perform various plays throughout the summer months. And this company that came in, one of the director and producer and one of the actors was a chap called John Dryden, who became very well known and a very wonderful actor. He now lives in Greece. And we've known each other all these years, and we've been very close friends. And my birthday, every year, he rings me from Greece to wish me happy birthday. And I remember when I first met John, and one night, I was in my early 30s then, and I was one with this young company, and one night we all went out to Annabella's discotheque above the ice rink in Bradford. And we're all there, and I'm having this conversation with John and about the Lord. And of course, if you ever try to have a conversation in a discotheque, you know how very difficult that is, because you're shouting down his ear and then the music stops and you ended up blurting it out all over the discotheque. And I was talking to John about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said to me, Max, he says, I've been looking for this all my life, and nobody's ever told me about it before. And this guy has a degree in fine arts from Durham University, bright lad. He says, can I come and see you in the morning? And he came to see me the next morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. It was 2 in the morning when he was telling me this. But he came to see me, and we sat in my study, and we spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I talked to him about him opening the door of his heart to Christ. And he said, look, I'm going on tour in a play called Fiddler's Five. He said, I'm going to all these cities. Can you put me in touch with Christians in all these cities? And I said, well, that's a bit of a job. I said, but I can. Why are you going first? He said, I'm going to Norwich. Well, now, the only bloke I knew in Norwich was the bishop, because he used to be my college principal. And so I sent him to see Maurice Wood. And a little while afterwards, I got this card from St. Anne's, where the company moved on to next. And John wrote me this card. I've still got it. And I often use it when I'm speaking about this particular verse and many others too. But he writes this. He says, Dear Max, he says, I found it. And he underlines that at the top of the letter. He says, on the beach at St. Anne's, deserted and open to the elements, I ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and guide my life in his footsteps. It's a great feeling now, because I feel calmer and yet excited. I feel ease and yet it's difficult. But I know what it's all about, and it's all there in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. He says, thank you for all your help and prayers, and I hope we never lose touch. The Bishop of Norwich was absolutely charming. I knew he would be. Thanks for writing to him. I owe you a long letter talking about the morning I spent with him. The Lord Jesus Christ became real to John on that day. And it's a wonderful story. And it's a story, as I say, as I repeat many times. Now, the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, where we had our first reading from, we meet Christ the King, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And he dictates to John 7 letters to the 7 churches. And his letter to the 6th church was to the church of Laodicea. And what he says to this church are good things and bad things. It wasn't a perfect church by any means. No churches are. But what he says to the church in Laodicea, he says these things. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. It's a bit harsh, that, isn't it? But there's nothing more nauseating than lukewarm water. And that's what Jesus is saying here to this church. And then in the first bit lower down, he says, you say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. Not a perfect church, by any means. Now, it's into that that Jesus speaks these wonderful words a bit later on in that same chapter to that same church in Laodicea, Revelation 3:20. That painting that you've got and of Holman Hunt is a wonderful painting. It's in St. Paul's Cathedral. One of the copies are. The others, I think, in Keble College in Oxford. And every little detail on it, if you look, is saying something to us and also reflects what Holman Hunt was thinking himself. The painting reveals a night scene set in an orchard. A figure wearing a crown of thorns and carrying a lantern knocks at a closed door with rusty hinges and overgrown ivy. And it's into that situation that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Every detail in that picture means something. Christ is dressed not just as the crowned king of Revelation, but also an Old Testament priest bearing the breastplate of 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. The closed door lacks a handle. There's no handle on the outside of the door. It can only be opened from the inside. Apples are on the floor, reminders of the fall and that it's harvest time. And there's a hint of light in the sky, which Hunt himself reflected on in Romans 13:12. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. They're powerful words, aren't they? The whole picture is powerful. And this then is a painting intended to tell a message. In fact, Hunt said he painted the picture because he felt he was commanded to. In fact, Hunt said that. And he felt this deeply. How deeply he felt about what or who he had painted was revealed a century ago. How was it revealed? Well, during the repairs on the frame of the first version, a phrase in Latin had been written by Hunt. Do you know what it said? "Don't pass me by, Lord. Don't pass me by." And he seems to have been overcome by what he had painted. There was reality in this painting. He was a real man, an authentic man standing in a real world. But behind this realism is an illustration of the human heart. A heart without Christ, a closed door, overgrown with weeds because it's never been opened. And isn't this a picture of the heart of so many of us? In fact, all of us, both in church and outside of it, at one time. And we need to open that door. This is the challenge to us. We need to be aware of the knocking of Jesus at the door of our hearts. We need to realize that Christ wants us to open that door, not just to be religious, but to invite Christ into our very beings, our very hearts, the very centers of our being. And as I've said, there's no handle on the outside of the door because the door's overgrown with weeds and brambles because it's never, ever been opened. And Hunt wants to get across that point that maybe that's the door of your heart or my heart. And in the gospel, we read Jesus saying time and again, "Follow me, believe in me. Open the door of your heart and life to me. Ask me in and I'll come in," he's saying. And this is the challenge to the church. This is what the missionaries did. When I was a canon at Bradford Cathedral, they instituted us or inducted us or whatever they do to us. You have your own stall. When I told my kids I got a stall in the cathedral, they thought I was a horse. But every stall had a name. And my stall was the stall dedicated to Paulinus. It was one of the early saints who was sent by the Pope to evangelize this country that we're in. And what did he do, Paulinus? He came and told people about Jesus. that they might receive him and put their trust in him. It's not too late to ask Christ ever into our hearts and lives. I will come in. We'll eat together, he says. We'll drink together. And we need to consciously open that door because it's an act of will. Now, sometimes, Peter, and you might realize this, you might say, well, I'm not sure whether I have or haven't. I've gone to church all my life. I've believed in God all my life, and that's fine. But I once said, I've got a friend called Brian Bates. Brian Bates is a company manager in Bradford. He was in my church when I was at Great Horton. I used to run men's basic Christianity courses. I used to pick my men out in church. I used to ask him. And they used to come. And I used to have one in the autumn. And there used to be about 10 or 11 of them. And it was in the days of tape recordings. And we used to listen to David Watson doing these 10 sessions on what is a Christian. And Brian came in the autumn term. I'd asked him to, and he came along. He never said a word, and he was very articulate, but he never said anything. And all the way through, that's not my phone. All the way through he came. And then after Christmas, I ran another. And Brian came up to me and says, can I come again? I said, yes, of course you can, Brian. Brian came again and listened to these tapes by David Watson for the 10 weeks. He never said a word. And after Easter, I was running another one. And he said, can I come again? I said, Brian, you can take it. You know it as well as I do. And at the end of that 10 weeks, I said, look, Brian, you and I ought to have a chat. And he came to see me, and we sat in my study together. And he told me how that when he was 18, and now he was in his 40s, late 40s, he said, when I was 18, I went in the army to do my national service. And he says, but the day before I went in, I went to a big rally at Swanwick of scouts, because he was a head scout, whatever you call them, and he helped run the scouts in Bradford. And he said, I went and somebody told us about Jesus. And he said, I realized that I need to ask Christ into my life. And he says, I went out of that meeting at Swanwick and I went straight into the army the next day. And he says, I've never done it. And he says, I feel I've wasted all these years. And so I said, well, would you like to do it? He said, yeah. I said, okay, let's write in ink what you think you might have written in pencil. And we had a prayer together, and he asked Christ into his life. He opened the door of the life to him. And we just prayed a little prayer saying, Lord, and he said, pray, Lord, come into my life. And I said, amen. And he looked at me and says, is that it? I said, yeah, that's it. You've written in ink what you think you might have written in pencil. And he asked Christ into his life. He made that commitment to Christ. He might have made a commitment of some kind earlier on. We don't know. But he needed to seal that in his own heart and life. And there may be people here who want to do that today. Open the door of your heart and your life to Christ. Ask him into your life to be the center of your life. Christ is asking permission to enter. Notice too that the fallen fruit on the ground is there because it's harvest time. Also, the light in the sky behind Christ speaks that the dawn is coming. The dawn of a new day. And we have to open that door by an act of will and say, Lord, come into my life today. And notice too that he carries a lantern because he's the light of the world. And we are told by Jesus that people love darkness rather than light. That the thief comes in the night. And Jesus was arrested in the garden by Judas and soldiers at night. He was tried by the courts of Pilate and the Jewish authorities at night. Peter denied Christ at night, warming himself by the fire, denying that he ever knew Christ. And the cock crowed before he denied him, after he denied him three times. Jesus is the light in the darkness. Jesus has been knocking at the door of our lives maybe for so long, and we've not answered. And his foot's turning away because he's knocked so many times and the door's still closed. And the sky reveals that the dawn is not far away. And this is a decisive moment and opportunity. And the picture poses a question. Will the door of your heart be opened in time? And in this is this opportunity to receive Christ going to be accepted or rejected? That's the channel. That's a challenge, rather. And what we always need to ask ourselves is, what's my response in this? And although you've maybe heard this message in this church many times before, I would say to you, will you open your heart and to the one who is the light of the world, to King Jesus? Put your trust in him. No clap of thunder, no flash of lightning. It's a relationship that Christ wants to have with you for eternity. And as Jesus knocks, there's no sense of hesitancy in the face of Christ, only authority. Christ, you see, is both servant and king. And is this the opportunity, probably, to receive the king, going to be accepted or rejected? Then the bigger question the painting asks is, what's your response? Will you open your heart to the one who is the light of the world on this particular festival when we're remembering King Jesus? Jesus says, if you ask him, he says, I will come in. Not maybe or perhaps, he says, I will come in. Not just for a fleeting visit. I'll come for life. And he'll sit down for a meal with us. So let me conclude. Among us this morning, there will be folks who've never opened the door of their hearts to Christ, but they'd like to. And there will be those who have been churchgoers all their lives, and they're not sure whether they've opened their hearts to Christ or not by a definite act of will. They've always believed it, but believe always involves commitment. If we believe anything, it always involves commitment. And we need maybe to seal it, as my friend Brian did, and write in what we think we might have written in pencil. So I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute, as if I was asking Christ into my life for the first time. And if that's your prayer, I want you to make that prayer quietly in your own heart, between you and God. And the deed's done. Christ said to all of us, follow me. We are sat here today, folks, because somebody at some time told us about Jesus. Somebody at some time told us about Jesus. And Christ says, come, follow me. Come into my heart. Come into my life, we say to Jesus. Come in today. Come into my stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, is what the chorus used to be, what we used to sing as children. So let's just pray together. I'm going to pray this prayer as if I was asking Christ into my life for the first time. And if that you want to make that yours, please do. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. You died for us. And you want a place in our heart. And so, Lord, come into my heart today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that, that you're in our hearts now. Amen. And the second prayer is this. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've died for me. I'm not sure whether I've ever sealed this, but I want to seal it this morning. Lord, come into my heart and my life today. Come and live with me and sit with me and eat with me and live with me, that I might know your forgiveness, your cleansing, and new life in Christ. Amen.